So how do you install a post-hypnotic suggestion? The protocol we're about to cover is something taken directly from the work of Milton Erickson, something that was taught to me by my own mentors, John Oberdorf and Julie Silverthorne. Remember that post-hypnotic suggestions require a state to activate the actual behavior. So you'll begin with some kind of trance process, then you'll come up with the suggestions for the new behavior. The next step is to induce amnesia. We'll talk a little bit about more why that happens in a moment. The final step is to go back to general trance processes and maybe to even add some kind of self-affirmation, some positive affirmations about the personality, their self-esteem, etc. Now, each of those stages is actually very important because it creates the context in which the post-hypnotic suggestion can take. The first step of creating trance actually sets the state in which a behavior can go through. Now, in the next track, when we look at the Camellia formula, we'll look at much more at what kind of states will be useful for creating certain behaviors. For the moment, just take it as a very simple thing, induce a trance. Now, when you're inducing a trance, it's useful to give the unconscious mind lots of options on freedom and how to do things. If you know something about what they think is valuable in life, what they like about life, add those things in there as well, because you're creating a kind of motivation factor for the unconscious mind to respond to the new behaviors. So all your framing can go into the same place where you're setting the state, the trance process itself. The next step is to suggest the new behavior. Now, you can do this quite directly. If you want to guarantee your success a bit more fully, I would start indirectly by just planting some seeds of ideas about behavior by talking about, for example, other people who've done similar things or have had similar types of activities, and then slowly bring them around to the idea of suggesting that they do the same thing. The next thing you can do to assist new behaviors from taking is to use kind of open-ended language to suggest sort of things. I like to use questions a lot. Questions allow the people to fill in the blanks themselves and have a lot of implication about when and where to do the behavior. So when you say, for example, when will you discover that you've already done X? Already you've got this question of, it's going to happen, it's just a question of when. You can think of this in terms of setting frames and using presuppositions to presuppose, to assume that it's going to just happen. Again, this allows you to bypass a lot of potential resistance just by making sure that inside the idea is pretty much implanted, it's going to happen. It's just a question of how, when, where, how much, etc. The other thing that you want to do at the same time is to begin to provide options for triggers. A trigger is a point when the actual post-hypnotic behavior is going to take effect. Now, that could be something as simple as a light switch, clicking your fingers, seeing someone else's face, reading a particular book, going to bed at night. These are all a whole host of different trigger points which can trigger off the behavior you're trying to suggest. It's important that you have at least one clear trigger point. Otherwise, they'll never know when to put the behavior into action. Another very neat way of doing this will be to offer a whole list of different behaviors. Some of them you can be very direct about and saying, it will happen when you turn the light switch, when you turn the corner, when you open a particular door. With others, you can be more permissive and say, will it happen at this trigger point or that trigger point? Will it be this trigger point or that trigger point? Remember, if you are more permissive and give them lots of options, what's likely to happen is, even if they want to resist some of those options, the resistance will go into one, which means it affirms that the other one will actually take place. So my preferred way of working with it is to give lots of different places. The other thing, of course, that will happen is you will tend to generalize the behavior so that the behavior can be much more a normal part of their everyday life. The next step is to create amnesia. How do you create amnesia? Well, you've already come across the amnesia technique in the way that you use language. Other ways to induce amnesia might be as simple as changing the topic. If you abruptly change the topic and don't come back to the original idea, it tends to just cut that line of thought and people forget all about it. Another thing you can do is to go back to CD9 and use your nested loops. Nested loops are wonderful things for creating amnesia because there's so much going on and so many different payoffs that the things that happen in the middle tend to be deleted as the beginning and the end of a particular sequence are the thing that's staying in your memory. One thing you should realize is that amnesia will tend to happen naturally anyway within a trance process. It's almost like a side effect of hypnosis, particularly if you're fractionating people in and out of trances constantly. Fractionation is when you put someone in a trance, take them out, put them in, put them out, put them in, put them out. And things like your storytelling can be great processes for fractionating hypnotic processes. Now, why would you want to induce amnesia on someone? The simplest reason is, in order to allow the suggestion that you've planted to start taking root, to take effect, without someone picking at it too much. Now, eventually it'll be fine for them to know what the suggestions were, because once they're embedded, they can no longer interfere. It's at the initial stages, when you first suggest something, that someone could start unpicking things, which might make it less likely that the suggestion was acted on. Next stage is to go back to trance. If you remember back on CD9 about nested loops, you created a nested loop of two trance processes. So you're using the same trance process again, so you created a building block, both sides of the suggestion for the new behavior, inside of the state of hypnosis. The last step that you want to take is to add some kind of positive affirmations, some self-esteem suggestions. One of the reasons for doing this is partly because it's a nice thing to do to someone anyway. The other thing is, it'll tend to somehow attach the behavior. In other words, the more they engage in these behaviors, the more likely it is that they'll become happier, stronger, more intelligent, and all these other things that you suggest. So it's actually a very nice payoff for the unconscious mind to keep listening to you and following your suggestions, because the person will grow as a result.